Hi everyone, my name is Mikey and I'm an addict.
Hi,
it's good to see you all. I would just like to begin by welcoming anyone who's new or who's back from a relapse or who might be unsure whether this program is actually for them and might be wondering if it's going to work. And the reason I'm saying that is because I was in that position when I first came in. When I hit my rock bottom, the decision I made to get clean wasn't for myself. It was to get people off my back. I wanted my brother to stop hassling me. I wanted my mum to stop worrying about me. I wanted my friends to stop bugging me. And I thought, I'll go to rehab and that will show them. And maybe I'll, you know, stick with it for a couple of months, but there's no way I'm going to ever stop taking drugs. Because my life up to that point had been ruled by drugs, controlled by it, although that's not how I saw it, of course. It took me a long time and a lot of step work to understand that I was a slave to drugs and that the opposite to what I thought was true. I thought that I was just having fun and that I just enjoyed them. And perhaps I did a few too many, but essentially I was okay. And through doing the steps, I realized that actually I was not okay and that drugs were controlling my life. So if you are wondering whether this program can work for you, hopefully what I say will go some way to convincing you, because it really has worked for me. To give you an example of what that looks like today, something recently came up for me in my relationship, which is a comparatively new relationship. I started seeing someone in February, and I didn't really realize, it's the first relationship I've ever been in clean, and I didn't really realize that jealousy and possessiveness was something that I was going to have to deal with. In my previous relationships, I was using, and my partners were using as well, and so jealousy and possessiveness was just something I didn't feel. I didn't really care that much about the other person, and so I felt like if they did something that I didn't really like, I didn't really care. And so now I'm in this new relationship and I'm finding that I'm dealing with a lot of feelings that I've not had much experience of. And something came up and I was really uncertain about what I was feeling. I was worrying that I was being inflexible or whether I was like sticking to my boundaries. And I realized that I needed to talk to someone in recovery about it. I realized that what I needed to do was find someone in the rooms who had experience of the thing that I was going through. And so I reached out and we had a chat about it on the phone. And then tonight we met up and had dinner together to talk it through. And he told me his experience. I told him my experience. And it's just such a beautiful, valuable thing to be able to be courageous enough to accept that I don't have all the answers. In my using, I was so arrogant. Drugs made me so arrogant and cocksure and inflexible, I guess. And one of the things that I would never do was ask for help, because it was indirectly taught that men don't ask for help, that they take care of everything on their own, they deal with everything on their own, that they need to be self-reliant enough to sort themselves out. It was something that I learned from my father, and it was something that I learned from my brother. Even though they never explicitly stated it, it was learned behavior. And so being able to reach out and be vulnerable and accept that I don't know everything, and that there may be another way of thinking about it, is one of the ways that the program is really working for me. And in doing so, I've been given some really valuable life experience from someone who's a bit further on in the program than I am. And it's given me a lot of food for thought, and it's something that I'm gonna process and talk to my partner about. when I was thinking about what I was going to say at this chair, I didn't know that it was going to be recorded. And I didn't know that it was possibly going to be available. So I was thinking about what I could talk to you guys about. And now that I'm here and sitting in front of this microphone, my feelings around that haven't changed. And one of the things that I want to talk about is integrity. Because one of the other gifts that this program has given me is the ability to behave and act with integrity. And what I mean by that is when what's going on inside matches what I put out to the world. Because when I was using the me that was inside and the me that I was showing the world were very far apart. And part of my using was all about deception and trying to project this image of security, self-confidence, being okay, being fine, not letting anyone see how confused I was, not allowing anyone to see how vulnerable and alone I felt, and basically keeping everyone at arm's length or bringing them closer to suit my ends, you know? And I was very manipulative in that way. And so as a result of all of that, I felt very disconnected from myself. And again, I'll say that, of course, that's not how I thought about it at the time, but that's what I've come to understand through doing the steps. Most of the things that I did in my day-to-day life were not acts of love and kindness, either to other people or to myself. If I was kind and loving, it was usually to suit my needs. And so people perhaps at times thought that I was a good friend, but really it was about me getting what I wanted. And that could be anything from money or validation or just a sense of having convinced someone that I wasn't as messed up as I really was. And so I say all of this to illustrate the fact that integrity was just something that I didn't have. And my sort of, my true self, the sort of unbridled, joyful self, the fearless, brave self, the curious self that I lost over time to drugs, shriveled and very, very infrequently was ever allowed to be seen by other people. And I guess an example of that would be in my professional life, where outwardly I looked like I was doing all right. And I would go out of my way to arrange situations in which I could be seen to be doing well, so that people would say, good job, you're doing great, keep going. And of course, I got a kick out of that validation, but really I knew that actually it was a facade, that I had purposefully arranged it so that I was noticed, which goes back to my childhood and the desire to be seen and heard by the adults around me. And there's a lack of integrity in that, and there's a lack of credibility, and I wasn't doing those things for the right reasons. And in recovery, through doing the steps and coming to meetings and sharing my experience and having other people's experience shared to me and forging and developing that relatability, that connectiveness, that shared experience, which I value so highly, I've gotten to a point, and of course I'm still working on it, where I can do good things without the need to be seen to be doing good things. And in my professional life, things are going very well for me, and I credit that to the program, to my higher power, and to the simple fact that I'm not using, and that every day that I remain clean is a day where I'm acting with more integrity than I ever have. And so when I am seen, and when I am validated, and when I am told that I'm doing a good job, the feeling of gratitude and appreciation and warmth that I get from that is real, and it's meaningful, and it's spiritual, because I know that I haven't done it for the wrong reasons. And that is a feeling that I would never have been able to have if I hadn't come into Narcotics Anonymous and if I hadn't worked the 12 steps. Another example would be step 10. And so the way that I work step 10 isn't formally with paper. The way that I work step 10 is more sort of cognitively and emotionally, I guess. And at the end of the day, or even, you know, in the moment or very soon after the moment, if I feel like I haven't acted it with integrity that I just described, if I feel like I haven't done things for the right reason, or if I feel like I've said or done something that didn't quite sit right with me in a spiritual sense, not all the time, but sometimes, and more and more as time goes by, I'm able to bravely let whoever it is know that I'm sorry for the way that I behaved and that what I said or what I did perhaps wasn't the best thing for them and for me in that moment. And very often when I do it, the other person is just like, oh, God, it doesn't matter. You know, that was nothing. You know, you don't need to apologize for that. And that's cool, but, and that's fine. But what I don't say is, actually, it is very important that I apologize. I don't necessarily need to tell them that it's for my spiritual benefit that I'm apologizing or making amends or rectifying whatever it is. I don't necessarily need to let them know. Sometimes I do, sometimes it's important. And sometimes the explicit apology is not even necessary. It's what I do that counts. And, you know, when I was using, I said sorry a lot. And I told a lot of people a lot of times that it was the last time that I would do this. You know, God, this is the last tenor that I'm going to ask you for. This is the last time you'll see me this way, etc. And of course, the value of that diminishes every time it happens and every time I didn't do what I said I was going to do. So it comes back to this idea of integrity, and it comes back to this idea of authenticity. And this is something that I hear time and time again in these meetings, is that the program, the steps, allows us to live authentically. It allows us to live meaningfully and deliberately and mindfully. That's what it allows me to do. And the level of like self-awareness I have and the level of understanding I have about why I did some of the things that I did and give myself the kindness to forgive myself for them, it also then allows me not to repeat the same mistakes. And that feeling of authenticity, when I first came in, when I was in rehab, I remember one of my counseling sessions, I said to my counselor, I feel like I'll never really be who I am. You know, I'll never really be able to live how I sort of really feel like I am. I felt like I'd gone too far with the drugs. I felt like they'd taken me to a point of no return where even if I got clean, I would never really be able to come back from that. And that's not true. In fact, it happened very quickly. The real me rose to the surface. And that's a really wonderful thing. I am smiling so much because there's such a joy in that. There's such a joy in authenticity. And, you know, self-help programs and books about mindfulness, you know, they'll tell you like live authentically and be present in the moment and that kind of thing. But it doesn't mean anything unless you know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And the steps have taught me how to do it. And being in Narcotics Anonymous has taught me how to do it. My sponsor teaches me how to do it. Other people in the program teach me how to do it. And so the real gift is not attaining all of these things. The real gift is when I talk to a newcomer and I share my experience and something in their eyes flashes and they get that moment of recognition, that relatability. They come up to you after a meeting and they say, I really identified with what you said, because when I was a newcomer, I didn't think anybody felt the way I felt. I didn't think anybody had experienced the things that I'd experienced. And when I started to hear my story in other people, that's when I realized that I didn't have to be... I was going to say that's when I realized I didn't have to be alone anymore. And that's a really cheesy thing to say. Of course, it wasn't a flash of like, oh, I don't have to be alone. It's more of a gradual thing. But one thing I will say is that I feel less alone now than I ever have. And that's thanks to this program. And I'll say thank you for listening to me. That's what I did.